that's a good opportunity to show our appreciation to Joe and his service to the church and doing all this work over the last several months to have everybody in place and to keep things working. So I believe in that. So can we honor him for his effort and dedication today? Amen. Amen. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. About the role that each and every one of us have in the church, whether we're leading or serving or simply participating, and understanding that for today. As I've said the last several times, that I've been blessed to be here and give you a message on Sunday, and I would love for you to memorize this and write this down and to know this every Sunday when you come to be with the church and hear a message from the Word of God. The speaker has the opportunity to preach and to teach. And when we preach and we teach from the Word of God, we trust that it's going to reach beyond our voices, beyond this platform. And then all of you in your seat, in the audience, in your hearts and your minds, be prepared to receive and to respond to the message. Second thing I want to say to encourage you before the message today is I've been very blessed in my lifetime to have traveled all over the country to sing and to speak, and I've also been blessed to be in a lot of different church environments, different, whether they be large or small or in the big cities or out in the country. And here's what I know, and my wife as well, we know when we enter into a church building what we're walking into. And I just want to say that right here in this place, you all love one another, and you are the family of God, and you have a lot of good things going on. God is going to really bless that in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead. I want you to believe that, because we have observed that, and we believe that, and we affirm that for you today. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to believe that. You have something very special here today that God is going to bless. And you're doing things the right way. You love one another and you know what it means to be the family of God. All right, for today's message, we are here today because we want God's direction for our lives on the journey of life that we're all on. As people of God who are asking Jesus Christ to be our leader on the journey of life, wherever it takes us or whatever happens to us. But keep in mind and be ever aware of the fact that many people will refuse this choice. With our free will, we all have that choice of what direction we will go in our lives. Many people all around us and all around you will be led by someone or something else and go in a completely different direction than what you are choosing to go and the path that you are choosing to take. Possibly these directions that people are taking and choosing are led by none other than Satan himself and the forces of darkness and evil in our world today. A place that no one should go. A path that no one should take. But when we read the Word of God and we begin to study and understand the teachings of Christ, it was taught to us that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life. Few will find it. So herein and therein lies the importance of this message today. So if you're writing in your notes or in your mind, the message today is simply this. You and I, as people of the church of Jesus Christ, must always keep our commitment to Christ in the church, no matter what. Amen? That's what church people do. We keep our commitment to Christ and His church as people of God no matter what. Currently in our country today, just one out of every four Americans identify as practicing Christians. One out of every four Americans, adult Americans, identify as practicing Christians in our country today. Practicing Christians, according to this church survey, are people who are regular churchgoers who participate in the life and the practices of their local church and contribute to the mission of the church on a regular basis. That's a fourth. There are another fourth in our country today who claim Christianity but do not identify as practicing Christians. So there's another fourth of our country that claim Christianity but do not claim to be practicing Christians. Going back a little over 20 years, in the year 2000, 45% of adult Americans were practicing Christians. That number is now at about 25%. So that's a 20% decline in Americans, adults anyway, who claim to be practicing Christians. So that averages out, get this, that averages out to about a 1% drop each year. Now, that number alone doesn't seem significant, but when you average that out over the population of our country, that averages out to a little over 3 million people a year. 3 million people a year in our country are beginning to decline in their commitment to Christianity. So what exactly is a practicing Christian? As I'll mention here in just a few moments, there is really no such thing. When you familiarize yourself with the New Testament, when you look at the Word of God and its teachings and the teachings of Christ, there is no such thing as claiming to be a Christian but not practicing your Christian faith. Can you say amen to that? There may be a fourth, and that's several million people in our country who claim to be Christians but don't want to practice it. Well, they need to get in the Word of God and begin to study for themselves or be taught properly. There is no such thing. Amen? If you claim to be a Christian, you have to practice what you profess. Write that down. Remember that. If you claim to be a Christian, you have to practice what you profess. Now, we're told that we need to make a profession of faith and a profession of Christ. We're told that in the book of Romans, chapter 10, that you confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved, saved in your heart, and saved in your life. If there's much more to it than anything that comes out of our mouth, we have to practice what we profess. Amen. There's a fourth of our country that is professing to be a Christian, but not practicing what they profess. May that not be the case for me and you as we understand today's message. We keep our commitment to Jesus Christ and His church no matter what. There's another fourth of our country that are involved in other religions, other religious practice, and there's also another fourth of our country that are identified as nuns. They don't have any belief in anything, and they're certainly not practicing that. All right, our message today is going to come from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in your Bibles or on your phones this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians here in just a few moments. A message that I love to give, a timely word for us today. It's actually the message of Apostle Paul, where basically he's saying, hey, I'm not that great. I'm not that great of a speaker or even a teacher, and I like to call this a preaching pastor's favorite message. A preaching pastor's favorite message. Because basically what he is doing is he is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Amen. He's pointing people to Jesus Christ, a preaching pastor's favorite message. He is pointing people to Jesus Christ. He's saying, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And you've got to keep your commitment to Christ, whether I'm with you or I'm not, or whether I personally work with you or not, whether you've heard of me or not, whether you love me or not, it's all about Jesus. Amen. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to pick up in verse 10. And today I'm going to highlight different things that the Apostle Paul says in chapter 1, in chapter 2, and also in chapter 3. So say this with me. Say, Word of God speak. Say it. Word of God speak. Amen. This is more important than anything I would have to say today. Word of God speak. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 10. The Apostle Paul begins to say here, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no what? Divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. That was his goal for the church. That's what he wanted. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels or fights among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, well, I follow Paul. And another says, well, I follow Apollos. And another says, I follow Cephas. And still another says, I follow Christ. Well, the last answer was right, by the way. I follow Christ. But here, he's mentioning that all these people in the church in Corinth, and Corinth was a large metropolitan city, so there wasn't just one congregation of the Lord's people. There were several congregations of the Lord's people at this time, people that were taught about Jesus and becoming a part of his church. But what it is they began to follow and to be overly loyal to the teacher or to the messenger, more so than that of Christ. Well, I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Paul. And here he's going to explain why this is so important. Verse 13, is Jesus Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone. So the Apostle Paul was like, yes, I've done some baptisms, and I remember some of them, but frankly, some of them I don't, because he was working with many, many people in many different cities, and he had the message of Christ and the mission of Christ in mind. You see, there were people that they were beginning to follow the teachers and the pastors or whoever they may have been. They were giving their loyalty to them over their loyalty to Christ and his church. Now, what we've got to check ourselves on, and what I've seen, what my wife and I have been blessed to see as we've traveled around and we've visited different churches during some of their interim seasons, is, and I experience this in my own local pastoral work, where people would begin to, they'd be all about you. Well, I really like you, and I really like how you teach, and I really like how you do things. Yeah, but what if I have to move on? What if I've got to move on down the road to my next ministry? Or what if God calls me to a different place? What are you going to do? And I'll tell you right here, right now, there are people that when the pastor leaves to move on to his next ministry or leave town, they leave, and sometimes they leave the church altogether. Brothers and sisters, that is wrong. Amen? You're not here to follow me. You're not here to follow any man. You are here to follow Christ and to keep his commitment to him, keep your commitment to him and his church, period. Amen? So, what happens is, when the messenger of Christ leaves, or sometimes when there's arguing among the church leaders, you know, one of the church leaders will leave and another one will stay there, and then the house becomes divided and people will follow that person. And then there's even, imagine this, and I can say this in my position, there are sometimes even pastors and preachers that begin to be all about themselves. Well, I'm moving on, and I don't know what to tell you at this point. No, you know what to tell them. You tell them, I'm moving on to my next ministry down the road. You keep your commitment to Christ and the church. Amen. It's not about me. But we've got a lot of pastors and preachers that need to check their own ego and need to check where they're at with Christ, as the Apostle Paul was doing it. Surely I can. Amen? So here he's telling them, you know, you're trying to follow these people and you got these disagreements. Follow Christ. And then he goes on to say, let's pick up in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. I'll stop right there at the end of verse 21. What saves people? The message of Christ and him crucified and him being the source of your salvation, that is what saves people. Not everything else out in this world and the wisdom of this world that God declares as foolishness. Amen? And you know, and that also brings to mind as we come into another election season in our country that people really like to follow them and put a lot of their faith and hope and trust in them. And I've, in my state, I've had the privilege of getting to know a lot of them. And to me, some of the best ones are the ones that say, yes, I serve in this office and I do the best I can for you, but I know that I am only a man or I am only a woman and I can only do so much and go so far and I can only figure out so much. Amen? People talk about the mess that things are in and how things are going. Well, that's just the world of sin we live in. And of course things are going to be that way. They were that way then. They're going to be that way now until the end of time. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So the question becomes, who am I going to follow? What am I going to believe? And where am I going to get my wisdom from? And then we see in verse 26 of chapter 1, brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many of you were influential, and not many of you of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption comes through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. All right, and then pick up with me in chapter 2, please, verses 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul goes on to say and to teach, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come to you with great eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. Amen. Amen. He's basically saying, I'm not that great of a speaker. I'm not that great of a preacher. I'm a servant of Christ. My life has been forever changed by him, and we know his testimony, right? He was literally at the stoning of Stephen, and he applauded and cheered as the earliest followers of Christ were being persecuted and thrown in prison and even put to death. He was all about that, and he thought that's what he was supposed to be doing, and then he was blinded on the road, and the Lord got his attention and changed his life around, and he wrote most of the books in the New Testament. That's the guy we're talking about here. The guy who wrote most of the books in the New Testament is saying, I'm not that great. I'm not that eloquent. I am simply a humble servant of Jesus Christ, bringing you the message of Christ that you are to follow. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Now, if the Apostle Paul said that, and that was his teaching, what is the role of the preaching pastor and the teacher? To point people to Christ. You keep your commitment to Christ and his church no matter what. It's not about me. It's about him. Amen? So I appreciate when people say that they learned something from a message that I was able to give or something I was able to talk or able to teach. But in humility, the servant of the Lord is supposed to say, amen, praise be to God. I hope that helps you in your walk with Christ and your daily commitment to Him and His church, and no matter what happens to me, you keep following Him, and you keep your commitment to Christ and His church no matter what. Amen? I mean, that should be the goal of every teacher, every preacher, every servant of the Lord. That is what we're called to do, as we see here even by the Apostle Paul. All right, my last Bible readings for today's message will be in chapter 3, please, of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. And we'll start at the beginning where the Apostle Paul goes on to make these points. He said, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual, but you're becoming more worldly," he says. "Like infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, acting very worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says," here he goes again, "I follow Paul," and another, "I follow Apollos," are you not mere men? What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, amen, through whom you came to believe. So yeah, we were the messengers, but the whole time we're pointing you to Christ. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow, amen? God gave the increase. And it just kind of reminds me of where I'm at right now in my life. And if you've been with the Lord long enough and you're still in the church, then that's the way it's worked with you, ladies and gentlemen. People of God, people of the church. That's the way it's worked with you. People have come into your life and someone did this and someone did that and someone did this to help you grow in your faith and as you mature in Christ. And people have done that along the way. But the reality is people move on. They may move on to their next ministry or their next town. Or, sadly, people die, right? People move on from this life, and they're no longer with us. But so many people, they want to follow a person. And we're called to follow Christ. And that's what he's getting at here. He says, you're fighting amongst yourselves. You're claiming loyalty to men and causing these divisions. You're not spiritually mature. You're acting very worldly. You're bringing this into the church. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. And you know what God's building is, by the way? The church. Amen. And then in verse 10 and 11, he goes on to say, by the grace that God has given to me, I have laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building upon it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than what was already laid by Jesus Christ. Amen. And so what he's saying is, when I come into the church, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the foundation. And even Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. My church will always be around. So I read you the sobering statistics, right? That only a fourth of American adults right now are practicing Christians. Seems very sobering in our country, doesn't it? But Jesus Christ says, I'm the cornerstone, and the church will always be here. The kingdom of God is for you and for me, and it's not only now, but it's eternal. And no matter who else around you is following Christ, you keep your commitment to Christ and His church no matter what. Amen? And you talk to those other fours, by the way, who are professing but not practicing. And you get in the Word of God, and I promise you, you will see there is no such thing. If you want to claim it, if you want to profess it, you have to practice it. It's not enough to say it, we have to show it. And how do we show our love to Christ? We keep our commitment to His church no matter what. No matter who the pastor is, no matter who the preacher is, no matter how great the music is. I have another sheet that I brought with me that I left in the car that showed all the reasons why people attend church services. And there are a lot of things like, well, I really appreciate the messages, or I like the music, or I like this and I like that. Well, the problem with that is, well, what if you don't like it? Or it doesn't suit your particular preferences? Well, the Apostle Paul taught that if we begin to have that mentality, then we're becoming like the world and actually spiritually immature when we have that kind of thinking. It's not about us. It's about who? It's about Christ. And so he goes on, I'll wrap up with this. Join me in chapter 3, please, of 1 Corinthians, verses 21 through 23. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Amen. You know what he's trying to say there? What he's trying to say is we follow Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ leads us to him and leads us to his church. It's his church, and we all are a part of it. We all get to be in it and stay in it and keep our commitment to it, our hearts and our minds and our lives. Amen? Amen. It's amazing to me how many people either weren't taught that or never realized that, but it's so true and it's so biblical. Jesus Christ taught that when he taught these parables, right, about the rich young ruler, and he's like, hey, I know all the commands and I've followed it, and Christ said, but you still got to do this. And then the question was, well, if I've got to do all that, who then can even be saved? Jesus Christ said, it's only by the power of God that you can be saved. It's not about how good you are. Not about where you rank. But isn't that great, though, by the way, in the church, that we're all in this together? Isn't it great in the church that it's different from the world, that you can come in here and it doesn't have to be about rank and file and comparing every little thing and all of our little ticky-tack preferences that we have? We've got to find a way to come together and keep our commitment to Christ and his church in this crazy culture we're living in. Amen? I was blessed earlier this month to preach a revival series, and I just preached a bunch of messages about revival, what it is, what it looks like. Revive our hearts. Revive our courage to keep our commitment to Christ and his church in this crazy culture. Revive us to where we don't have to conform. Romans chapter 12, by the way, verses 1 and 2 says, you don't have to conform. It says, be transformed. Which is the opposite of come form. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's the difference. We're not any better than anybody else, but I'm here to tell you today that if you in this day and time are committed to Christ and his church, he sees you and he knows you and he's going to bless you for it. So I want to close with this. If you're taking notes today, the book of Acts in the New Testament is all about the church and the beginnings of the church of Jesus Christ and what it looked like and how the gospel message spread and the gospel began to be open to those who were not Jews, so Gentiles, and then how the church and the Apostle Paul built upon that, where he was trying to bring together those that were Jewish and those that were of other backgrounds. And so the book of Acts in the New Testament. And so today I have some words that go with the word Acts. So A-C-T-S. As we look at the book of Acts and my study of the book of Acts, I believe that Acts for us can become this. I believe when we look at the word Acts, it's talking about action. So again, we can't just profess, we've got to put it into action. And so when we look at Acts, I believe Acts very much stands for this. Acts. The A in the word Acts is to be accountable. To be accountable. We see this in the New Testament. We look at the earliest followers of Christ. They were accountable. They were accountable to God, and they were accountable to Jesus Christ. And so if we claim to be Christians and we claim to love the Lord, then we've got to be accountable. We've got to be accountable. And then we look at the letter C. I believe after we are accountable that we need to be committed. We need to be committed. And so when we look at the C in Acts, I believe it can very much stand for that, to be committed, to be accountable, and to be committed. To be committed to Christ and your mission as your purpose as Christians and to His church and even to one another. And then I look at the T in Acts, and I believe that very much can stand for thankful. Because when you're accountable to God and you're committed to Christ and His church, here's what I know, you're also going to be people who are thankful. Amen? You're thankful for your salvation. You're thankful for your blessings. You're not spoiled. You're not selfish. You're thankful. And if you're not spoiled and you're selfish, how many of you know you're going to be different? Amen? Because we live in a culture today that is very much me first. We're putting Christ first. Amen? And so when we live lives of thanksgiving as we enter into this month of November, where people begin to call it a season of thanksgiving, for us, it's every day of our lives, but when we look at the early church and the followers, earliest followers of Christ, they were people who were thankful. And then we have the S. And as I illustrated for you in the teachings of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3, we are simply servants. Servants of the Most High God, servants of the ways and the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the book of Acts, and the word Acts itself, my call to you and my challenge to you today is, will you still today be those who are accountable, those who are committed, and those who are thankful servants of Jesus Christ our Lord? Amen? That's what it's all about. And I believe that I will have your blessing upon this, that we, as Christians, we become a part of the church, you know, the church of Jesus Christ. We have become a part of the kingdom of God, which is eternal, and we all want to be in heaven with Him eternally. But in this life, we have so many blessings and so many promises that if we'll keep our commitment to Christ and His church, that supersedes and it's greater than the wisdom of this world, it's greater than our culture, it's greater than who's in office, and it's greater than all of that, because this calling and this commitment for us is not only for now, but it's eternal. Amen? It will outlast you. And so you have to keep your commitment to Christ and His church, and you also have to be one who is willing to grow. Just as our teaching today with our children showed, we've got to continue to grow in our faith to the point of overflowing. We've got to grow in our faith, and we've got to be spiritually mature, and then we've got to go out and share that with others and pour into their lives. The Apostle Paul said, I don't care about your loyalty to men. It's all about Jesus. Yes, some of you I directly taught, and some of you were taught by these other people. He said, I planted the seed, and they watered it and made it grow. And he was just as happy. And so should we. Accountable, committed, thankful servants of Jesus Christ. We saw this in Jesus and his apostles and those who follow him. And the same is true for us today. Now I want to wrap up with this. Here's why I felt the Lord laid this message on my heart today. Is because I've seen it. I've seen it time and time again in times of transition with local churches. And maybe that's why Jesus called us sheep, you know, bah, right? Because sheep do what? They wander. And they wander away. And sometimes they don't even know where they're at. And so a lot of times when a local church is in transition, people are like, well, what do I do now? Well, where am I supposed to go? Oh, we don't have a lead pastor, or the preacher's gone. Keep your commitment to Christ and the church no matter what. That's simply the answer. Amen? You stay where you're supposed to be. You keep your commitment. You keep serving. You keep doing what you know to do. You keep growing in Christ. And you keep blessing those around you. And you not only say it, but you show it. And how do you show it? And I said this last time I was here. Is it enough for you to just say, I have a job? Oh, yeah, these people hired me and I have the job there. And I'll just profess that I work there. Is that enough? No. They probably expect you to do what? To actually not just say you work for them, but to show up and to do the work to earn whatever it is they're going to give you. Amen? I mean, that's what it means to have a job in our culture and in our country. And so when it comes to our commitment to Christ and His church, that fourth of America that is simply professing, somebody needs to teach them the Word of God and say, no, there's way more to it than that. Amen? And so I commend you. I'm here today to encourage you and commend you for keeping your commitment to Christ and His church no matter what. Here's the second thing. I believe that the Lord has a man of God who is coming here in the next few weeks that has prayed with him and his family about coming here and serving you as your next lead pastor. And we're going to be in prayer about that, that is the right fit for you all and for him and his family. And if that is the case, will you bless that man of God by continuing to serve and to keep your commitment to Christ and the church and to be a blessing to him by doing the work of the Lord together. Amen? Because that's what it's all about. We're simply servants of the Most High God, using our talents and our gifts that God has given to us to empower, to educate and empower and encourage you to reach your God-given potential that each and every one of you have. Amen? You all have different talents and abilities and gifts that you can be using and should be using to build up Christ and His church and the kingdom of God. Amen. The Bible teaches us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're all part of one body. We serve one Lord. Ephesians 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all and through all. Amen. Word of God speak. May the Word of God speak to you today. May you receive and respond to this message. As we give the invitation today, here's what I want you to do in the invitation. I want you to recommit today, will you please? I want you to recommit in your hearts and your mind that I will keep my commitment to Christ and His church no matter what. Whatever I'm asked to do, I'll consider it and I'll do it because it's for Him and His glory. It's not about following any man, it's about following Christ. I want you to recommit and rededicate that today in your hearts and in your mind. And if you have not made Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life today, here's my message to you. You cannot, you simply cannot save yourself. Amen? You can't be good enough on your own. You can't do enough to be in heaven for all of eternity on your own. If we could, we wouldn't need that sacrifice that Christ made on His cross, which we will remember and commemorate here in just a few moments in our service today. And so just be rest assured, if you've not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart and your mind, you need to do that. Because the reality is, as we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and there is no way that you or I can ever possibly atone and make right and fix all the sins of our past. Amen? So who's going to do it? God through Jesus Christ. And so if you have not done that today, if you've been striving and struggling to be good enough on your own, lay it down and say, Jesus, You're it. It's time to make You my Lord and Savior in my heart and in my mind. If you haven't done that, please do that today. And so as we consider these things this morning, let's respond in our hearts and our minds as we have our invitation song today. So let's stand and prepare to sing our invitation song. Amen.